Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Jason Leisure. Welcome to Halas Intrigue. Jason, in this episode, we will talk about what we saw from Justin Fields the last couple days here in suburban Indianapolis and what we will not see from him on Saturday. All that and more coming up on Halas Intrigue. Jason, you and I are sitting here in a field next to a football field in Westview. Westview, is that the name of this place?
Westfield. Westfield, Indiana. It's the north suburbs of Indianapolis, and I have never been here before this week. Yeah. I've been to Indianapolis like more times than I could count, but I've never been to Westfield. It is nice.
It's beautiful.
It is really nice. And this sports complex, I don't know if you've seen the entirety of it. It's huge. And there are so many different fields and facilities. There's like an indoor field house. There's like physical therapy centers on this property. There, I think somebody told me yesterday there's like 15 or 16 baseball fields.
Oh,
you can't even see them from here. That's in a total other corner.
I'm guessing 10 years from now, one in three people in Chicago will have taken their kid to play a game here at some point. It's it's ridiculous, and they're currently packing.
This is where training camp should be.
Yeah.
A place it's like amazing. This. Yeah. This is great.
There's 7,000 fans were there for the Bears joint practice today. They're currently packing up and going back to their home base closer to the city. So if you hear a little banging in the background, that's just construction people.
The Colts are wrapping up training camp.
And, but Jason, we're not here to talk about trucks lifting barriers. We're here to talk about Justin Fields, who Matt Eberflus said just a wee hour and a half ago, will not play in Saturday's exhibition game. Initial thoughts.
Pat, I've covered joint practices before, and so I've seen this done before.
Yeah.
I think I told you about this, not that you didn't know necessarily, but I think we did talk about this before we came here, that it is kind of a thing when you have joint practices that the coach might decide not to play any starters in the game.
Right.
And they might say, well, those 2 days, 3 days of joint practices, that's game-like work against an opponent. There's no need to play them in a game. I was still a little surprised that Matt Eberflus did that. The question was, how much is Justin going to play on Saturday? And the answer was, he's not. And that was surprising because he has not been convincing. He's had some good stretches and some bad stretches. He's not left you just feeling like, oh, this guy's good to go for the season.
He's got it figured out. We're ready to go. No, he hasn't been convincing in practice. He was convincing in the seven snaps he took in the first preseason game. But I think that we'd all agree that this is a lot more reflective. What we've seen the last 2 days is a lot more reflective of what we've seen in the last month than anything that came up at Soldier Field the other day. I was a little surprised, though. Eberflus, earlier in the week, made it sound... He made it sound like Fields was going to play. He at the very least did not shoot down the notion that Fields was going to play. He said that they came to the decision late Wednesday night, or on Wednesday night that he was going to sit out. I'm not sure I disagree with it, but I don't think it has anything to do with merit. I just think I am more in the camp of preseason can hurt you more than help you because of the threat of injury.
It can, but you wouldn't say that about a player at another position, probably. Quarterback is so important that you're right. But if Justin Fields was – if you had a player at another position that was the equivalent of Justin Fields, you'd say, I think that guy needs the snaps. I think that guy needs to play a little bit. Not because preseason games are so important, but just because he needs to get better.
Yeah.
He needs the practice.
Yeah. I mean, Darnell Wright was drafted one spot ahead of Justin Fields. He played the first quarter the other day, and I think he probably needs the work. I think I'd be surprised if he played on Saturday, though, given the way Eberflus was talking.
He said he was going to sit Fields and select starters, which I think might mean all the starters, because a handful of them are hurt anyway and not going to play. It's hard for me to picture, Patrick, him playing some of the starters on the offensive line. It would seem like it'd be all the ones... or all the twos.
Well, and let's look at the offensive line. Cody Whitehair left practice today with what appeared to be a right hand injury, so we don't know his status going forward. Nate Davis hasn't put in a full practice yet since they switched to pads. So that's two out of the five right there who, even if everybody was supposed to play Saturday, might be sitting out. It wouldn't make a ton of sense, I don't think, to kind of mix and match in that regard. And then when you look at the Bears defense, I mean, four starters are hurt. Eddie Jackson didn't practice today after having that collision with Michael Pittman the day before. By the way, on the list of people you don't want to collide with, Michael Pittman. Jeez. Big. Boy, big boy. Tremaine Edmonds hasn't played since August 2nd. DeMarcus Walker was back but didn't do everything today. Who am I missing, Jason?
Jaquan Brisker.
Jaquan Brisker him? Still out. Terrell Smith was back again today.
Did you say Claypool?
I was talking defense, but yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and Chase Claypool still out. So, I mean, we just named, you know, on both sides of the ball, 8, 9, 10 people.
It's a bunch of guys.
It's a bunch of guys. Yeah. So maybe this isn't that different than if the Bears were going into it the way they went into week one.
The Eddie Jackson news is significant, by the way, because that was an injury that happened late in practice Wednesday night, and there was not a lot of information about it at the time. Matt Eberflus saying not going to be a factor, not going to be a long-term thing. And he said that about everybody, Patrick. He said that about all the guys you listed off. He has said all along, oh, none of these are like – none of these injuries threaten their availability for week one.
Right. But he also says that, hey, I'll let you know if it's something long-term. And this is the Bears injury policy during the preseason. Once the regular season starts and gamblers are involved, quite honestly, then we have injury reports and a more standardized way of doing things. Eberflus said –
Tremaine Edmonds has been day-to-day for like 3 weeks.
I was going to say DeMarcus Walker's last full practice before today was July 31st.
Today wasn't a full practice.
Well, right. So we may get to his next practice is Monday. So we're going to get to 3 full weeks without a full practice. And in Eberflus's mind, that is not quote unquote long term. That might be something that only us reporters care about, but it is a squishy descriptor that he chooses to use.
Well, here's something he does care about, though, Pat, is that he has said all these injuries are minor, but he does not think it's minor that he hasn't been able to get these guys together.
Right.
That is an issue. When you have so many guys that have missed practice, or Yannick Ngakoue comes in late and is still being phased in, DeMarcus Walker being phased in today, like, he does see an issue there. He has highlighted that as a legitimate hindrance to getting the defense ready for the season. And it's probably easy to remember, this was the worst defense in the NFL last year.
Sure.
And they've brought in a bunch of new guys, and those guys do need to play together. Tremaine Edmonds specifically,
right,
as the quarterback of that defense, right, like, he needs to be out there for himself, but he also needs to be out there because everyone needs to get used to playing with him.
And Eberflus was talking, well, these guys can still do their, you know, walkthroughs together. It's like, oh boy, awesome, walkthroughs. And Eberflus needs to see them out on the practice field. I presume we're going to get to the point here fairly soon where it is – you get close enough to week one that you sit there and go, hey, if I'm going to be in game shape, I got to be out there. And I think we're inching closer to that. It might not be Monday, but it's probably somewhere between this next Monday and the following Monday.
I mean, it's only 2 weeks after this, I think, of like preseason practice type stuff before you get into a game week.
Yeah, I mean, it's 3.5 weeks from now. The opener is September 10th.
But you're in a game week that week.
Yes, true.
You're not, this isn't like getting into shape on that Monday.
Right.
That's like specific game plan install type stuff for Green Bay.
How about this? Cut day is a week from Tuesday. Like, and then once you've cut everybody, you are into game planning.
Exactly, yes.
So they will need guys there. I think we all presume that they'll be there, that they'll be ready then. But boy, it'd be nice if they were ready closer to now, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And you have that issue all over the place right now where you have the offensive line has been unstable. Mostly the first two levels of the defense have been unstable. The secondary has, for the most part, had their guys until now.
Right.
Until Eddie Jackson. And I keep thinking Jaquan Brisker will be back any day, and I guess not. But you have Chase Claypool's absence, for example. You laugh every time Chase Claypool's name comes up, and so
do
a lot of people.
I do.
But Chase Claypool is a big part of the plan this year.
Yep.
They don't know if that's going to materialize.
Sure.
We don't know if that's going to materialize. But I assure you, he is a big part of the plan. And him not being out there, not getting work in with Justin Fields, is an issue.
And I laugh because he's a character. And I laugh because of the way he hurt his hamstring, which was
While trash talking.
Right. But I do agree with you. I think he is their third receiver, and I think if he's their third receiver and if he's good, that's a great sign for everybody. But you need to see him out there. You didn't see him out there at all during the OTA or mandatory minicamp period. And the best thing you could say about him until last week was, well, shoot, he was, you know, healthy. And now he's not. I want to get back to Fields real quick, Jason. He was 8 for 8 in 7-on-7s today with 4 touchdowns.
He should be.
If the sport was 7-on-7, that would be very, very notable. But it's not. We see flashes, and that's exhilarating. And then we see a lot of, like you mentioned, just kind of the up and down-ness of mediocre quarterbacking. Mm-hmm. Could he have accomplished anything if he had played a quarter or more Saturday? Is there anywhere to go? Or if I'm thinking of this as, is he ready for the regular season or not? Is that just a dumb way to look at it in regards to preseason games?
Well, I think he's still a young player that needs to get better and needs those snaps.
Yeah, right.
To benefit from. You know, accomplish anything? Like, is he going to make us feel better about it? Is he going to make Matt Eberflus and Luke Getsy feel better about it in a preseason game playing 2-3 series? Probably not. That's not really it. But I think he needs the practice.
Right.
I mean, he literally needs to keep working at this. You think about this guy. He has played 2 seasons.
Yep.
One of those was the rookie season with Matt Nagy where Andy Dalton was the starter, and there was, like, no plan in place for once Fields had to come in and had bad personnel around him. Last year, maybe worse personnel on the offensive line.
Right.
I mean, he was sacked almost as much as anybody in the league, and he was hurt. He missed games for that. Like, he is very inexperienced, and some of the experience he has is not good experience. So I think more practice, more work would be a positive for him.
I think he's won 5 games. Does that sound about right?
Wow.
Yeah, I think he's 5-20.
You think that's the number?
I think he's 5-20.
Yeah.
And I think a little success, I mean, even, you know, looking back last week against the Titans, a little success is a good thing. Like, this guy hasn't been successful from a team perspective yet.
Yeah.
And even in an exhibition, I think that there's a benefit to that. Now, in a dome, on turf.
I know, but they're going to play games in domes on turf this year.
But those games matter.
I know, but you can't just always be, like, afraid that they're going to get hurt playing football, you know?
In the preseason, I think I can be afraid they're going to get hurt playing football. That's why the best quarterbacks in the NFL typically don't play in the preseason.
Ones that don't need it.
Justin Herbert has never taken a preseason snap ever in his life. Aaron Rodgers hasn't done it since 2018.
I would never sit there and say Aaron Rodgers needed the work, I don't think.
Yeah, but I don't know. That's like saying that if I own a Honda and if you own a Ferrari, that neither of us should leave our cars out in a hailstorm. Right?
I guess, yeah.
You're not going with the
other. The analogy.
Okay. Just because your car is nicer than my car doesn't mean that I'm disincentivized to protect it. Right?
Can your car get better if we drive it a little more? Matt Eberflus did not close the door on Justin Fields for the entire preseason, by the way.
Right.
He said that they will figure out next week what they want to do with Justin Fields in the preseason finale against the Bills. I would guess he actually will play in that. I kind of take Matt Eberflus at his word today that the rationale for sitting Fields this week is because he got game-like work against the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
And that won't be the case next week. Now, when you're talking about the passing and everything like that, this is something we've been talking about with Justin Fields for a long time, almost the whole time that he's been a Bear.
Right. Pause for golf cart.
And a forklift.
Nice.
All right, you're going to hear some clanging here in the background. We are on location. It's not just something that we're talking about when we say that he needs to be effective as a passer.
Right.
He cannot be a 1,000-yard rushing quarterback.
Okay.
Running is going to be a big part of his game, no matter what,
right.
I think, for his entire career. And the ability to have a guy that can scramble his way out of a 3rd and 12 is a great thing to have. The Bears have said, Matt Eberflus kind of laid this out. He wants them to limit the running, essentially. You know, you can't decide all this in advance. You got to play in the moment. But he kind of wants it limited to, like, 3rd downs and red zones. Like, when
it gots to have it situation.
Things that change the game, not just 1st and 10, 2nd and 10, whatever.
Right.
That's something that we see. That's something the Bears have been talking about. But, Pat, it's also going to be something that the opposing defenses are going to try to make him do too.
Yeah.
You remember when Mitch Trubisky...
make him play quarterback.
It was. It's going to be exactly that. It's going to be make Justin Fields show you he can do that. Load up, take away everything at the line of scrimmage for him, make him win from the pocket. And to be a successful quarterback, he will have to show that he can do that in addition to the things he's already shown you.
Anthony Richardson's the rookie quarterback here from Florida, a place you know well. You saw the Bears defense trying to make him do that today too.
Yeah.
And that's it looked awful familiar. And a practice setting is a strange place to judge a quarterback's running ability, because honestly, when Fields takes off and run or when Richardson does, all it does is ruin the drill. Doesn't teach anybody anything.
It wastes a play to
yeah.
me. Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. They're going to make him throw it. And that's what was encouraging, I thought, about the game against the Titans was it was nothing fancy, but it's amazing what happens when you give the ball to good teammates.
It's something they've wanted him to do is take the layups.
Yeah. And, you know, it's easier to throw an alley-oop when you've got Shaq with you. And I think that, you know, DJ Moore is, he might not be Shaq, but he's, give me a middling, or give me a good, but not Hall of Fame center. Give me a good.
Man, they don't do that in the NBA. They all make the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's a good point. I do it real quick.
Hassan Whiteside?
What was your favorite, and then we'll go. What was your favorite moment from going to the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame? Jason covered, if you didn't read it, Dwayne Wade. Getting in, wrote some really good stuff. About his Chicago roots and kind of what it means to him. Had you ever been there before?
Thank you. I went to the Hall of Fame, the Basketball Hall of Fame last year when the Bears were playing the Patriots. I went. It was a Monday Night Football game.
Okay.
So we had time during the day, and I went. And it was underwhelming.
Thanks for the invitation, by the way.
It was in Springfield, man. Okay. You think you would have driven out to Springfield, Massachusetts?
No, probably not. It was underwhelming?
The Hall of Fame itself there needs a lot of work. It's not like the baseball and football Hall of Fames. But they do seem to know.
Because I think the football Hall of Fame needs work.
That may be, too.
Yeah, right.
But they did seem to know that. And they were talking about, like, the plans to unveil a million-dollar exhibit every year for, like, the next 10 years. There's this fund in place for that. I think the best thing was everybody has known for a long time that Dwayne Wade would be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
I think the best thing, if you know his story... Mm-hmm. And it's a very, very Chicago story. But if you know his life and what he's been through, the problems that he had as a childhood, as a kid, with his mom and her many problems and being in and out of jail, and his dad being there for him, but his dad having problems too, and both of them being pretty young, to see him be able to have that moment with first his mom and the closest that he's had with his mom for a while now, and then that moment at the end with his dad going into the Hall of Fame, like with his dad saying, we got here together. That's pretty cool. It's pretty cool because, you know, a lot of times family problems don't get resolved.
Yep.
A lot of times major rifts in your family, major things where that happened during childhood go unresolved.
You carry that with you your whole life.
They hurt you for a while. And so it was good to see him. It's good to see it all come together in that way. And that basketball was central to that whole journey for their family.
I'm going to give you a radio talk show question, and then we'll go. So you better than Isaiah?
Yes.
You think so?
Yeah. Well, Isaiah was a point guard. So, I mean, it's kind of...
I know.
Different positions, I guess.
But, it's but kind of Isaiah...
Like from Chicago.
Isaiah is the Chicago basketball player. Scoop Jackson, who writes for us, I think made a pretty good argument that Wade can be no worse than 1B.
Yeah, it's pretty good. That's pretty good.
I think that's also a very polite way of saying he's probably 1A, but that's just me.
I guess I'm going with Wade, but I have recency bias. I saw Dwayne Wade's entire career. Mm-hmm. I was pretty little when Isaiah Thomas was playing.
Yeah, that's a good point. Jason, we will be here for the next couple of days. We will watch the Bears B team go up against the Colts B team, I presume, on Saturday. And we will check in from that game, most likely, As the golf carts pass and the forklift chugs by, Jason, why don't we say goodbye? For Jason Leisure and Mark Potash, who is still riding, I'm Patrick Finley. Thanks so much for listening. We will be back again really soon.